if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. Those things we did not get to during the course of the show today. Betty Rock's still out. She will not even be back Monday. She will be back Tuesday because she is getting back early in the morning, Sunday night or Monday morning.
I think Monday morning.
Yeah.
Sunday morning.
Well, no, it's technically Monday morning. Like any time after, this confusing. Always gets confusing. Like I would say, oh, you're getting back Sunday night, but right. It's actually Monday morning if it's past midnight, and yeah. It'll be past midnight. The bus runs, man. Like it, if you're, I don't know how much you know about like the on the road lifestyle, but basically what happens, she's out with the band I Am They, and so what happens is the bus will park at a place like a Kroger or something like that. So if you ever see a bus, tour bus in a parking lot, like why is that there? It's because usually that's their pickup point. So everybody drives to that Kroger, they leave their cars there for however long, and then they get on the bus, and whoever is the driving the bus, they load it up at, you know, the Kroger or Walmart or whatever, and then they take off on the run. So they'll drive overnight. And then they'll, get to the show. You wake up and you're at the show, which is awesome if you're in the band. It's nice. I feel bad for the bands that have to drive themselves. Like when you're a baby band and you're in a 15-passenger van. Oh, it's the worst.
Doesn't sound fun.
So then you get there and you go to the show and you do all your stuff. And usually what happens is the promoters have to provide hotel rooms for you, but you don't really use them other than to shower. You know, sometimes you'll go and hang out, but usually you're at the venue. You're there most of the time. But then what happens is after the show, now the bus driver gets a hotel room because the bus driver goes and sleeps while the band is working, and then they sleep while he's working, you know, so it's this weird opposite schedule. And so then you basically finish your show, they'll bus you over to the hotel, and everyone kind of gets showered and stuff, and then back to the next gig and drive overnight and do it all again. It definitely is a lifestyle of hurry up and wait, because we got to do this now, and then you have to wait for everything, and then it's Groundhog Day. It's the same thing every day.
How long does, like, because they're, the one that Betty's on right now, they left, what, Wednesday afternoon?
Right.
Get back Monday morning. That's 5 days of life. Like, people go way longer than that,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a baby trip, almost.
Christian bands typically try to not be on the road as much, I think, because they realize it's not healthy for families. Like, you look at mainstream guys and rock guys, and they're out 200 days a year.
That's
and
crazy.
They'll be gone for months at a time and not see home, and that's when things go south in relationships. They get strained, and so I think a lot of Christian artists have made the conscious decision that we're going to go, we'll play shows like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then try to drive back Sunday. And a lot of them try to be back in town for their home church so they can be at church, you know, because that's important for them as well to kind of get fed after they've been out, you know, hopefully ministering to people and
that's
things
admirable.
Like that. Yeah. And like Casting Crowns, it's like a non-negotiable for them.
Oh, that's cool.
They're always back so they can teach their youth group thing
in
Georgia.
Be there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I think they're great about that. So some of the stuff we didn't get to. This was a really sad story. There was a girl that her mom was in the hospital with COVID and she wasn't allowed to see her and her mom was dying. And so she went over to a construction site next to the hospital and they gave her a yellow vest, boots, and a helmet and let her climb a ladder to a section of the roof so she could look through the window and see her mom like one last time. You're like, oh, come on. Like, I know we get really political. Like, COVID is politicized and I understand all facets of all the arguments, and I get it. We're going to still debate stuff ad nauseum and things like that. But when you hear these stories, you're like, your heart just breaks for this family because this kid wants to see her mom. And so some doctors now, though, I appreciate this, are calling on their peers to evaluate the risk of contracting COVID at the hospital versus the psychological damage long-term of not being with that loved one as they pass on. Mm-hmm. You know, because they've limited, like, there were so many people, especially early on in the pandemic, that they lost, hundreds of thousands of people, they lost loved ones and were never able to be there with them or say goodbye. It's wicked sad. And unfortunately for this girl, her mom passed away. And she wasn't able to be there with her. And it's really sad, but the doctors now are, some doctors, there's a group of doctors that are saying, hey, we really need to look at this because, you know, in the beginning, we were struggling for PPE. We didn't have vaccines. And so now, I mean, you can't enter a hospital without being vaccinated now for the most part in most places. So the risk should be considerably lower of transmission or contracting it. And there's PPE and all this other stuff now. And so it's like now is the time when you could start to open back up that ability to be with loved ones as they pass away. But I was watching a thing in, was it Florida or? But right on the heels of the announcement of things getting better, they were like, we're doubling down and being more restrictive. And so the idea, though, being, all right, we don't want to lose the ground that we've gained. But there's a point at which people are still, I'm like, if you start saying, hey, we're doing better, we as Americans are like, yay, everything's good now. We can move on. And I guess that's still not the case.
No, we're ready to never hear that we're going back to a certain way. Like, we're ready to be completely done with this because we've been saying, oh, well, that'll only be a few weeks, but we, you know, like 2 years into this.
I'm super over it and super over talking about it to some degree too, because it just doesn't change and people still get upset either way. So anyway, this is kind of cool. If you are an Apple fan, Apple Watch fan, the Series 7 comes out today. The new watch is going to be $399 for the smaller one, $429 for the bigger one.
Whoa.
And they have a bigger screen and it's thinner. So
that's kind of nice.
Yeah, because the other one's a little chunky. But I'll tell you, man, my wife loves hers.
Did you ever flirt with the idea of going that route?
I did for a minute. And I mean, like, the idea of being able to talk into your wrist is super cool because that was like
a secret agent.
When I was a kid, that was a thing. Like, that was just future, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so she'll do that all the time. Like, she'll get an email or a text and she'll quickly, while she's doing stuff, talking to her wrist, like, okay, see you when you get home. Love you. Bye, or whatever. And there's things like that that are nice for it, but I'm super hard on my watches. Like, mine are all scuffed up. Like, I hit them on things and I never take them off when I'm building stuff. And so they just, I'd rather buy like a $50 fossil watch and just use it till I break it.
Versus running the risk on breaking a $400.
Yeah, because I would.
Toy.
And again, like, there's so, like, you're like, oh, this is great. There's so many things I can do with it, but I have a phone and I can do everything with the phone on a bigger screen.
Yeah, I feel like I would be so excited to have it and I enjoy the new aspects of it, but then I would eventually just revert back to the nature of pulling my phone out of my pocket. I mean, I love the feature of, you know, my wife like loses her phone all the time, so she just, you know, bings it. So that's super useful and, you know, picks up a phone call if she's, you know, not near her phone. So, like, I get that part of it, but I think I'd break it. But
my wife's car doesn't have Bluetooth in it, and so we're a hands-free state. And so if she gets a call, I guess she answers it on her wrist.
Much easier.
So, yeah, so she can still talk. So, I mean, that's good. I remember when they first came out, my friend who's a real early adopter of technology got one. And I'm like, let me see your watch. And he's like, oh, yeah, here. And oh, man, look, wow, this is really amazing and all this stuff. I'm like, hey, what time is it? He's like, oh, let me get back to that.
Switch.
I'm like, it's 8:30. I win. Old school.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Gavin, let's finish up early today. It's Friday. What do you got for birthdays?
We just got one. Melissa, the show historian, wants to wish her mom and dad, Sue and Bobby, happy 33rd anniversary. They are amazing parents. They did want to ask how we're doing.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Same. When my wife asked me, how you doing? Good.
Yeah. I've got like a very good life right now. Yeah. Nothing crazy happening.
Don't need to elaborate.
Not a lot going on.
Just fine. Yeah. Everything's good.
So we'll leave you with that.
Melissa is very active with the show. Like, I know. She definitely reminds us of all the birthdays and anniversaries and things like that going on. So definitely cool to wish her parents a happy anniversary.
33 years is not nothing. That's pretty impressive.
Dude, that's my length. I'm 29 years dating my wife, or married to my wife, and then we dated for 4 years, so I'm 33 years with Marty.
Wow, that's awesome. I get mind blown whenever I think about, I met Haley in 2013, and we started dating in November of 2013. So in essence, we've been dating and together for 8 years.
Yeah.
And in my head, that's a crazy amount of time, because that's like a third of my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been with Marty longer than I was without her.
That's a cool milestone.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I love being married to her. She's awesome. But it is funny, like, we're talking about, like, fine, how different we are, because I'll come home from work, and she wants to know, like, everything about my day. Like, it's like, how's today? And I'll be like, it was fine. Well, how's Gavin and Haley doing? Are they okay? How's their new place? Good.
Super good.
Well, how's Betty? What's going on with her and her roommate, Nicole? I think everything's fine.
All three of us in the show right now are in pretty good places. Yeah. Nobody's going through anything too chaotic.
But it's funny because last night I was telling her, I was going off about something that happened at work that was just driving me crazy. And And I was getting animated like I do. And she's like
you do.
I know. And she's like, well, I love having these conversations with you. I'm like, you asked. So now if I'm actually opening up and telling you something I really feel, like you asked. You asked for this. This is your fault. She's like, well, when you tell me, could you just not get as animated or as passionate? I'm like, yeah, but that's what I'm feeling.
That's who you are.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise I can just bottle it back up. Why have this conversation then, man? Like, it's like I can. There are days I feel like I can never win.
So what does she? What do you think she wants to hear? What's like?
I don't know. I think she wants to hear details and only positive things. Like, if I was a betting man, like, that would be in her world, because that's what I want. Ultimately, like, when I'm dealing with my daughter or Marty, if their worlds ever aren't right, my world isn't right. If my daughter is struggling, I'm not whole. I'm not complete. Like, I want her to be okay and be right, you know, and stuff. And so if she comes home, like, in a really bad mood or whatever, it's like, I got to try and fix that, you know. And I know women say, don't fix us. We're fine. We just need to process it. But sometimes you need fixing. And I'm the guy to do it. And I got this wired. But no, so like, and so if their worlds aren't right, mine isn't right, and I'm not settled, you know, until they're in a good place. And I think she's probably the same way with me. If I come home and I'm all angsty, then she wants to talk about it and make sure that I'm okay, because then she's unsettled otherwise, you know. And I guess I'm just like a woman. Don't pull that for Betty. Yeah, here's how Betty hears the show. Sometimes I'm just like a woman in the sense that I don't need it fixed, but I just need to pop off about it, you know. So anyway, all right. Well, with that, I think we are going to end our Friday edition of the Aftercast.
We don't need to sing the song, but
Weekend plans.
We got plans.
This is Betty Rock's favorite part of the day.
We can do a quick rundown.
Because I really don't have anything. I'm gonna go mountain biking. We're actually gonna do a gravel ride. So Molly, Greg, myself, and Marty are all gonna go riding tomorrow, which will be good. And then just doing dinner and cards tonight. So I don't have a big weekend at
nice
all.
Nice and simple.
Yeah, easy.
We're gonna go do an escape room and dinner for our friend's birthday tonight. Then Haley's mom gets into town tomorrow. Haley wants to take her out to a nice meal, because over the next week that she is staying with us, we are going to be doing, I love her.
Which I love.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. But she's going to help us with a lot of house projects do the house projects, because she's like, oh, I'll just do them while you're at work.
That's so great.
I'm like, oh, if you want to wait till I'm home, we can definitely be helpful hands to you as you help us. But yeah, we're going to go treat her to a nice meal just because she's doing a lot for us. But she's really good at all the things she's about to do because I am, again, not the handyman. So it's exciting to have her in town to do, to work with us.
When we were young, married before, like I, when I was working so many hours, like when Marty's dad would come over, he would want to fix things at the house or things like that and do projects and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I guess. I mean, if you, I don't want you to feel like you have to, and I would get to it, but like I'm working full time and a lot of hours. And so, and he knew more about stuff than I did back then too. And so it was like, oh yeah, it'd be great. So it was super helpful. And it was nice. I'd come home and things would be fixed.
Oh yeah. You should never reject the help.
Yeah.
Just because you're like, I'd rather do it myself or I feel the need to do it, but no, it's going to be.
There are certain projects, though, that I would want to hold off for myself. Like, I wouldn't want someone tiling something for me because I want the process
specific,
of doing it.
Yeah.
It is really weird. Like, my buddy Greg and I, like, we both do various different, we do a lot of different home projects or building stuff and things like that. And he's super independent. Like, he works on his stuff himself. And he's done stuff that I don't know how he did it by himself because I've always offered. Whatever he's doing, hey, man, if you need any help, let me know. I'll help you out. You need tools, let me know. But he likes to work alone on things, and then he'll offer to help me with stuff. I'm like, oh no, I got it. And like, so it's weird. We very rarely end up helping each other.
That's funny.
Unless it's something that it's just, you need two people to pick something sure. up or do something, you know? And so like, yeah, I think I've gotten really fiercely independent and I like the project, you know, and I like to sure. just to do it by myself.
It's kind of like a hobby.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, with that, that is going to do it for our aftercast, and we will do this again on Monday.